Back on the field here on Wake Up Call DT.com, part of Dance Tour Broadcast Media. You can get the app Sports DT on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store, and find it on iTunes, Wake Up Call with Dance Tour Podcast. Plenty of ways to get in touch with this man right here, Syracuse, CFL, and NFL alum Rob Drummond, here with Dance Tour on Back on the Field every single week. And we have a lot to talk about. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And you have a new kind of thing with your career going on now. You're on the television. So yeah. Got to ask you about this and how your experience was getting out there and doing that for Time Warner.
You know, it's natural to me. Being an athlete for so long, you know, and I've watched athletes myself take a step, you know, off the field and up into the press box and up into the booth or on the radio. You know, it's just a natural thing for us, because honestly, all I'm doing is sitting here and talking about the game. I sat there and played for 15 years professionally and 4 years in college. For me, it's easy to talk about football, because it's something I live, something I breathe, something I love to do, and something I understand. So being able to sit and put a camera in front of my face and being able to talk about a game I love, it's easy.
And then talking about that game, your debut was the Wagner game, which you and I were both in attendance for and both saw the game and both understand the fact that when you're 3-for-6, -1 yards after three series, right, that you're not a college quarterback. Drew Allen gets taken out. Terrell Hunkett's put in. The whole aspect of who Syracuse is changes. The demeanor changes. The you go from having the break on to going full throttle, and he doesn't stop the entire time that he's in. What did you see from Terrell Hunt that you liked? I mean, obviously he scored points, but what were you taking from him and how he was leading on the field?
Well, the thing I noticed during that game about Terrell Hunt was that the past two games watching him against Penn State and Northwestern, that he was basically chomping at the bit to get in the game. He knew how good he was. I mean, didn't nobody have to tell him that. You know, and to see Drew Allen go out there and struggle those first two series, and then Terrell Hunt get the opportunity, the first thing I guarantee you that went through that young man's mind is, like, you know what, this is where I'm supposed to be, and watch what happens. The confidence that he exuded when he walked up there, he took control, he took charge. Marched him right down the field and scored. Marched him down the field again and scored. You know what, at that point he had all the poise and all the character of a seasoned veteran, something Drew Allen did not have, and it was good to see Terrell Hunt come out there and play like that.
When you see Terrell Hunt be able to find a guy like Jared West, who there was this expectation with him being the third receiver of choice with Alec Lemon and Marcus Sales last year, that he was going to be the guy now, that he had to step up and be the guy now, whether he liked it or not. He's quiet against Northwestern. He's quiet against Penn State. He wakes up against Wagner. How much do you put this on Wagner's defense, Terrell Hunt versus Drew Allen, or just on Jared West? Is it a mix of all of that?
I mean, honestly, as a person, as a player, I always sit here and say, you know what, I can't control what the opposition does. All I can do is control what I do. And in saying that, I would say that Terrell basically went out there and said, you know what, let's just take care of us. I got to go through all my reads, all my pattern progressions, and find a receiver that's open. Because for people who don't know, as a quarterback, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 receivers you read on any given route. You look at the first one, if he's not open, you look at the second one, you look at the third one, you look at the fourth one. And you have 4 point, whatever as many seconds it is to get that ball away where defense is bearing down on you. And he did a great job of doing that. And in doing that, he found his second and third receivers open sometime. And it makes those guys so much better. As I said before, Terrell Hunt went into this game with a purpose, and that purpose he served.
Seeing his comfort level stepping up in the pocket, obviously you have to give credit to the offensive line, but there was a play in the game, and I believe it was when he found Jared West in front of his defender and went for that touchdown untouched. When you have pressure coming from both sides and he has his blockers, to me he looks completely poised, relaxed, unafraid, stepped up in the pocket, never took his eyes off from looking downfield, and delivered the ball perfectly to Jared West in stride. What does that tell you about a guy like Terrell Hunt, who has never been a starter?
You know what? Confidence. Hungry. Set up the first two games and was, I mean, ticked about it. Very miffed about it. You know what? Thought he should have been in there from the start. And as a player, you know, you get that burning desire inside you to want to go out there and compete. As I said before, competition brings out the best in anyone. You know, no matter whether you're playing Pop Warner level, whether you're playing the professional level. And Terrell was competing. He went out there, and when he got his opportunity, he made the best of his opportunity. And right now, he's only going to get better from that. The one thing I wish would happen also, you know, and I can't tell because I'm not up there anything, up there on the hill or anything, is that, you know, Drew Allen would, from this point forward now, go out there and make himself that much better. If Syracuse had the confidence to be able to go out there and recruit him and bring him to the school to think that he could be the starter, that means he's a good player. You know, just because he got pulled, he may have had a bad game. So now go out there and compete. You go out there and compete. You make not only yourself better, but you make Terrell better also. So Drew Allen just needs to get in the position now and go out there and compete and make both quarterbacks better, and that'll help Syracuse in the future going to each game.
From what you've seen with Drew, obviously you go from being a starter in high school mm-hmm. to sitting the bench to getting garbage time or whatever you want to call it, rep time mm-hmm. at Oklahoma, to being the starting quarterback of a program that's trying to continue its move toward the bowls mm-hmm. and actually obviously heighten its play and heighten play going into the ACC because of the competition they have. Before all that happens, his two starting opportunities mm-hmm. are against two Big Ten teams mm-hmm. who are both good teams. Mm-hmm. Penn State still recruiting through all the issues that came from Jerry Sandusky, Joe Paterno, and Northwestern, a team that was in the top 25 that has been a team that is not easy to go up against and maybe doesn't get the respect that they deserve, but shows it on the field.
Correct.
When you see Drew Allen go up and play those two teams to start off, can you really honestly look at him and say, he's not that good a quarterback? Or do you look at it and say, everybody's going to be rusty when they're coming out, and he had two difficult games to learn the way? He wasn't thrown out at Wagner right away. He was thrown out at Penn State and Northwestern.
Yeah, that is true. You know, but from any, you learn more from a loss than you do from any win. I mean, I always say, you know, because you learn because of that pain, you know, that burning desire to go out there and compete and win and get a victory. But in those games, you know, he should have taken something going into the Wagner game that would have given him an advantage, given him an edge, at least for this season. The first three series against Wagner for Mr. Allen were abysmal. I mean, they really, really, truly were. You know, and it just got to the point where a coach had to make a change. You know, here's the thing. When you're on top, there's someone always behind you who's chomping at the bit to get their opportunity. They're working that much harder. They're learning that much more. You know, they're understanding the game because eventually they want to be in a position you are. You have to work harder to stay on top. You know, the guys working behind you working hard also, but you have to work that much harder to stay on top. And it's just that Terrell got into the position where he got his opportunity, and he made a point to himself within his own mind that he's not going to let relinquish his starting job, so he made himself that much better. Now Drew Allen can go out there now taking a step back and make himself that much better. If they found the confidence enough in him to be able to be the starting quarterback for Syracuse University football team this year, then he has that intangible in him. But you know what? Right now he has to get himself in a position where he can work that much harder and become the starting quarterback again. Do you know how much better Syracuse would be now with those who's competing with each other to get better each week? It's going to be a fun show to watch the rest of this year.
Drew Allen's last play before he was pulled on that third series, it's third down, mm-hmm. and the wherewithal of knowing where he's got to be to get that first down, mm-hmm. to see a pass and just sling the ball out to the left in between the markers, mm-hmm. knowing that that's a short pass, there's defenders coming on. When you saw that play leave his hands, and obviously after the fact you hear the boos from the Carrier Dome crowd, what does that tell you about him and where he's at? Because in that play, he did the wrong thing. He made the decision to complete a pass
yes.
that wasn't going to get you where you need to be.
In situations like that, being a former player for so many years, it just shows a lack of confidence in oneself. You know, he knows he has the talent. But right now, he just doesn't equate the talent that he has and the possible play that he possibly can do. You know, so for right now, it's just a struggling situation, you know, for Mr. Allen. But you know what? Just get it out of your head. It's behind you now. The game was won. You know what? You got benched. So what? You either, just like life, you can either sit there and sulk and cry me a river. You know, basically, you know, I don't want to play for this team. I want to be mad at the world. Or you can go out there and work that much harder, you know, and to prove yourself and get back on the field. As a sophomore, as a sophomore, excuse me, as the end of my freshman year, I started as a freshman running back at Syracuse. At the end of the year, Coach Mack sat me down in his office and told me I wasn't good enough to play Division I college running back. You know, that he'd think I'd be a heck of a wide receiver. It was the most painful thing I'd ever heard in my life before being a football player. You know, I could have tanked it. I thought about transferring. I had called Penn State, Joe Paterno, and things of that nature. And I was leaving Syracuse. You know, I mean, how dare he say that to me, I thought. But I remember sitting there, going home that day and sitting in a room with my mom. My mother already told me, it's like, you know what, Robert, it's just like life. Life's not always going to be roses and gardens for you, you know? So, you know, you have a choice to make right now. We're going to back you in your choice no matter what you do. You can either transfer to Penn State, we'll be buying you 100%, or you can go out there and prove something, not to them, just to yourself, that you're the type of player that you think you are. You know what? I chose to decide to stay at Syracuse and then play at wide receiver. Ended up starting at wide receiver for a few games that year, you know, but they ended up, to make a long story short, they ended up moving me back to running back at the end of the year because the running backs there were struggling. I ended up leading the team in rushing. In the next 2 years, the next year I was a starting running back, we go undefeated. The following year, we go 10-2. It wasn't the fact that I was trying to prove Coach Mack wrong, but it's like I knew deep down inside of me the type of player I was, the type of ability I had, and I believed in myself. All you know, all Mr. Allen has to do right now is just go out there and believe in himself. And if it's there, if it's inside him, it will shine. It will come to the top.
Is it difficult now, in your mind, with having Terrell Hunt not only won a game, but he's a sophomore, eligibility-wise. So he's got this year, next year, the year after. It's the difference between a three-year potential starter and a guy that no matter good, bad, or indifferent, he's gone. Is it more difficult in your mind, as it is in mine, that Drew can find his way back in no matter how much he fights if Terrell keeps doing the right things because of the fact that Terrell not only has this season, but he has the ability to go to the coaching staff and say, the better I do now or the more I play now and the successes I have now, I'm going to guide you. He's never going to guide you past this season. Does that push Drew Allen to a point where now that you're out, maybe that's it? Maybe that door is shut?
You know, I don't sit in the coaches' meetings, so I can't answer that question for you, but I can tell you that at any given time, or all the time, I could say that coaches want to win. You know, universities want to win. So the coaching staff will put the best player in that gives them the best opportunity to win, whether that be Drew Allen, whether it be Terrell Hunt. You know what? Whichever one steps up, whether it be game time, you know, or whether it be practice time, the one that's showing the moxie, the one that's showing the confidence, the one that's showing the understanding of the offense is going to be the one that plays. The one that puts him in a position to give them the best opportunity to win is the one that's going to play in the game. I don't know who that is. Right now it's Terrell Hunt, but that could change next week. You know, we'll see.
Running back-wise, Jerome Smith.
That was fun to watch.
1,000 yards last season. This season, he comes in knowing that in 13 games in 2012, he had three touchdowns. In two games in 2013, he had three touchdowns. He goes into this game, he gets a couple more. Now, Jerome Smith has five touchdowns. He's already gotten into the end zone more than all last season with plenty of games to go. He's running well. He's playing well. He's getting the majority of the carries. What are you seeing from Jerome right now? Because you were a running back. You played at Syracuse. You played college. You played pro. And you understand that it takes a lot to not only be good, but to get better.
Yes.
And in my mind, that man's not stopping.
Yes. You know what? The thing I see in all the running backs at Syracuse right now, and it's funny to say this, is that they're having fun. They're having absolute fun. Football is a blast. You know what? And as I've always said it before, when you go back to the days when you were a Pop Warner kid and you were just out there running around just to have fun and the game wasn't serious, I mean, that was football.
Yeah.
You know, these guys have gotten back to not worrying about the yelling, not worrying about the score, just going out there performing and doing well and having fun. And that changes the whole entire attitude of a mindset of a team, much less a player, when they're able to go out there and play the game of football that they love to play. It's just fun to watch them play. And that's a bold statement to make as a football player, because a lot of time it's a grind. You got to wake up for practice, you know, you got to get your schoolwork done, you got study table afterwards, you got the studying you have to do for football and plays of that nature. But when it's fun, it's fun. And right now I can see it in Jerome Smith's eyes and pretty much Tyson Gulley's eyes also. They're just having fun.
The majority of the touchdowns scored in three games for Syracuse have come on the ground. Prince Tyson Gulley, Jerome Smith, Devontae McFarland have all scored. Terrell Hunt got one as well. Looking at the fact that we speak on Jerome, but you bring up all the backs. Mm-hmm. Prince Tyson Gully mm-hmm. has been in the end zone and been effective. Devontae McFarland, who was redshirted last year, has gotten in the end zone and been effective. George Morris II has not gotten into the end zone yet, but he has been effective on his runs and in kick returns, which you know on special teams, he's averaging 20 yards. He's got 8 kick returns, 160 yards. The man is doing work back there where Scott Schaefer believed between a running back and a wide receiver, I trust the running back's hands, and I trust the fact that they're used to getting hit more. So when you look at the full picture and you look at Jerome Smith and Prince Tyson Gully were enough for Syracuse last year, now they got George Morris yeah. and Devontae McFarland. What does that say to you about this team that essentially has proven that they can carry the ball with four guys at least?
You know, I look at it from the same standpoint of when it was myself, Daryl Johnson, and Michael Owens. You know, as a group, we're inseparable, especially during meetings and on the field. It's like, you know what, we had each other's back. We fought for one another. You know, we would greet each other at the sideline after a play. You know, because it was funny after Jerome Smith's long run, I see him running back at the sideline because I was standing on the sideline myself, and he was coming back. You know, and all the guys were congratulating him, and I see Prince Tyson Gully run down to the other end, and he's the first person to meet him, and I see them do some cool handshake they did. But it's like, you know, you can see the love between those two because Prince Tyson Gully was so happy for him to be able to go out there and do that from the running back spot, where some guys can be like, no, that's my spot. You know, I mean, that shouldn't be me scoring a touchdown. Blah, blah, blah. You can see these guys are friends off the field. And when you're friends off the field, it makes a huge, huge improvement for you when you're on the field. Because, I mean, not only do you have that person, like, mentally, you know, in your mind, you want to do well. You have them spiritually and in your soul, you want to go out there and do well. And that's what football is about. Football's not an individual sport. It's a team sport. And when you can feel deeply about your other player doing well, even if it's a spot that you play, that's a team sport. That's a team that's going to do well.
1-2, you beat an FCS opponent, but fall to Northwestern handily. Could have beaten Penn State, but fall in that game. Moving forward, how do you define the team right now? Syracuse is blank. What are they right now?
You know what? Syracuse is an anomaly right now. You know, we won't know. You know, it's just let's keep it real. I said it before, and I said it on a television show. They were supposed to destroy Wagner. That's no big secret. That's no big shock. You know, I predicted the score to be 55-6. You know, the score that we scored against Colgate back in 87. You know, so I pretty much knew this game would be a blowout. I think they'll be Tulane handily. You know, no big shock there. Syracuse is a more dominant team than Tulane. They should go out there and do that. You know, once they get into the meat and the potatoes of their ACC schedule, I'll be able to tell you a lot more about this team going forward. But right now, I think they have a lot of confidence. They have a lot of moxie. They built a lot of character in last week's game. Granted, it was a lesser opponent, but it doesn't matter. At that point, Syracuse needed to stop the bleeding, and they did. You know what? Good for them. You know what? But they have to understand that, like Coach Mack used to tell us back when we played, one game down, one to go. And all they can do is worry about Tulane right now. I'm pretty sure in the back of their heads they watched that NC State Clemson game last night, as probably every SU fan did, knowing that they loom on our schedule in the near future. But for right now, just take care of Tulane, because Tulane is the task at hand.
Seeing what they've put together and knowing that you've played other teams before, like Colgate and whatnot, when you play an FCS opponent, and Syracuse at this point has won their last 30 games, they haven't lost a game against an FCS opponent since October 4th, 1958. It was Holy Cross. They lost 14-13 on the road. On top of that, they're 11-0 at the Dome. Mm-hmm. They're 12-0 since the split, literally, in the 70s when NCAA said, this is FCS, this is FBS, mm-hmm. formerly Division I AA and Division I A. So knowing all that history and that Syracuse has been able to win these games, but the last two seasons, something I said to you, something Scott Schaefer said in his post game, that Syracuse, despite winning, has not won handily or the way that they should. Mm-hmm. Last season they won by 11, the season before they won by a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So to see this 54-0, mm-hmm. you and I said something like this had to happen.
Yes.
I had 43-24 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Now that has happened, when you look at a win like that, how much can you look at this game in a game that you're supposed to win? And if you're on the team, and when you have been on the team, did you look at it and say, this is a victory, we beat this team? Or was it, this is a victory, but this was kind of like practice for us because we're supposed to beat this team? how do you take a win against a Wagner or a Colgate or one of the teams that you're supposed to beat? You're supposed to get 3, 4, 5 touchdowns.
You know what? I'm going to give it to you from a player's perspective. They were a speed bump. When we look at our schedule before the beginning of the season, and every team does across the country, you know, players go on the list and they pick and choose and see what game and what's on their schedule. You know what? They sat there and looked at Wagner and be like, you know what? Me and Terry Wooden, my best friend in school at the time, used to be like, all right, it's a stats game. And basically, by stats, meaning we're going to get yanked early because it's going to be a big score, so we need to score as many stats as we can early on. Yeah, it sounds bad, nothing against the team we're playing against, but it's like, you know, we know it's a game where we go out there, and we have to enforce our will upon them. You know what? We can't worry about, like, Syracuse couldn't worry about drew a blank. Wagner was doing, you know, because Wagner was their opponent at the time. You know what? They're in our way. They're on our way to a bigger goal. We're a bigger team. We're a better team. We're a stronger team. We're a faster team. We're a more athletic team. If you went down every intangible, Syracuse was graded out higher on top than Wagner. They beat them handily. They were supposed to. So it's a game where you don't get overconfidence. It's a game where you went out there, and as with anything in football, you did the job you were supposed to do. Great. Now the game's over. It's behind them. Now get ready and get set for Tulane, because Tulane's coming in the Dome tomorrow. You know what? And it's the same thing. Syracuse is, someone said, a 14.5 point favorite in the game. Can't take that into account. Bottom line is Syracuse is the better team. On paper, on offense, on defense, and on special team. Go out there and play like that. And that's all you have to do. All you can do is take it one game at a time, and they have to do the things that they're capable of doing against the opponents that they're playing against. And right now, they're a better team than Tulane, so that they go out there and prove it.
How do games against Wagner and Tulane help them prepare for Clemson?
Confidence building. You know what? You can work on everything that you know you can possibly get wrong in playing in games, and work on that, and work on that, and work on that, and get better. Because against a team like a Clemson, you can't make any mistakes. Clemson is that, I mean, like, they're the number three team in the country, and you can't make mistakes against the number three team in the country and expect to win. So right now, these games, it stinks to say this, but it can be practice games leading up. And by practice, I mean it's just stuff you need to learn and stuff you need to do. You're the more dominant team. You truly, truly are. But you have to go out there and play with heart. You have to go out there and play with conviction. You have to go out there and play with desire. And you have to go out there and force your will upon them. You know what? And I'll give you from the reverse side of the same thing, of that aspect. Tulane knows they're the underdog. Tulane also knows that they're the lesser of the two teams. But they can go out there and try and break that will. The lesser team is going to try and break that will. The stronger team is going to try and force that will. Somewhere along the line, someone's going to win, someone's going to lose. Be that stronger. Be that stronger force.
Your biggest surprise so far this season with Syracuse?
The biggest surprise?
Biggest surprise.
That they lost to Penn State. That's my biggest surprise. I thought they'd come out, coming off of last year, no matter who was that quarterback, and be a much more stronger, much more confident, much more resilient team than what I saw against Penn State. And that disappointed me some, but you know, I think, you know, character-wise, as a team, not just as individuals, as a team, I think they turned around in the Wagner game because they saw in the Wagner game what they're capable of. They saw in the Wagner game, granted, it was a lesser opponent, but even when these FBS schools who are someone like Alabama or LSU, or they play these subdivision teams, you know, they still go out there and their scores are like 64-6 or, you know. So Syracuse did just what the bigger schools do against these schools. So that's got to be a confidence builder for them.
When we look at the game against Tulane, Orleans Darkwa, someone that Syracuse has seen before a couple years ago in 2011, he's another guy, 5 touchdowns on the ground. He's the only guy that's getting rushing touchdowns for Tulane. So where Syracuse has 4, Tulane has 1. How dangerous is that still, though? Because he had some success before against Syracuse, and that was 2 years ago. But at the same time, this is the one-headed. And you don't see that a lot anymore. I mean, granted, there's other guys that are running the ball, and they have Rob Kelly, who's close to him in yards. But when it comes to scoring, when it comes to getting into the end zone, they trust one person, whereas Syracuse has trusted, at this point, 3 plus their quarterback. What type of element does that bring to the game for you, being in the backfield and knowing you split time, but there are those teams that, this is our guy, he's running the ball, let's see what he can do?
You know, as a player, I mean, say I'm on the defensive side of the ball now, you know, and I would tell my defense, if we let one person beat us, we have bigger problems than, you know, about winning and losing games, you know, because one person should never beat you, you know, on an offensive team if you're on defense, you know, and the running backs from, for Tulane, you know, the as talented as they are not good as the defense for Syracuse. So Syracuse should go up here and, as I've said along, force their will upon this team and just bury them early. They're the better team. I mean, it's no secret. You know, everyone sits here and trying to compare apples to oranges, you know, things of that nature. It's like Syracuse is a better team. You know, I don't care if they came up there, you know, with three or four talented players on offense. On paper, Syracuse is a better team. So having a mindset and a mentality of going out there and playing that way is what college football is all about. If you go out there overconfident, you're going to get beat. But if you go out there and force your will upon another opponent, you're going to lose. You're going to win. Syracuse just has to go out there and play like they played last week. Last week they gave up 84 total yards, you know, to Wagner, which was a completely dominating defense. You know, it's swarm, get to the ball, and play like you're capable of playing. You can't worry about and try and understand what it is that Tulane is going to do, because you have no idea. Yes, you can watch film, but until you get there on game day and you actually see them executed, you have no idea what you're going to do. But you know what you're going to do. You practice all week long what you're going to do. You were at your practice and your film meetings as a player for Syracuse, so you know what you're going to do. So go out there and execute what you're going to do and force your will, and by that I mean will, upon them, and take everything they're trying to do out of the box and win the game handily.
Now, against Wagner, Syracuse's secondary advanced, excelled at times because Wagner's receivers didn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
There were numerous drops on a ton of different drives from the beginning all the way through each quarter. There was some type of drop on a third down, second down opportunity, wherever it may be. Where a first down could have come, Wagner didn't hold onto the ball. Tulane has Joe Montana's son, Nick Montana.
Yes.
We're a little bit in the blood there. You have a guy like Ryan Grant that is your dominating factor.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, this defense that has featured the same guys from the last couple seasons, when Syracuse has played a team that has one dominating receiver, they have a very hard time, enter Robinson from Penn State, closing out when it's just one guy. Even if it's just that one focal point, they have trouble. Ryan Grant doesn't seem like the type of guy that's going to drop the pass when it comes to him. Where's the secondary at in your mind from what you've seen for Syracuse, knowing that these are the same players that they've had?
You know, they're still learning. You know, it's just for the simple fact that it's a challenge. You're being challenged. You have a top-tier wide receiver who's not going to drop passes, who led them in receiving in the last 2 years, I think, coming in to challenge you in your home, in your dome. You've got someone that's coming into your house to try and take something from you. Psychologically, take yourself out of the football aspect and put yourself in your home. You know, some stranger comes, knocks on your door, you open your door, and he walks into your house to take something. What are you going to do? You're going to defend yourself, right? You know, you're going to muster everything inside your own body to try and, you know, stop this person from taking something from you.
Right.
Same thing as a football player when you walk into the field. Syracuse University football players own the Carrier Dome. That's their home. Right now, the Tulane Green Wave are coming in to take something from them. This receiver is coming to try and score touchdowns on you to take something from you, a victory. You can either man down, you know, and not accept the challenge, or man up and accept that challenge. It's up to that secondary now, just to man up to accept that challenge.
Tulane, Syracuse, your score.
Ooh. Syracuse, 36, Tulane, 14.
It's close to what I thought you would go with. And I will be bringing mine on game day, as I always do, so you got to hold out for mine. Before we finish up here back on the field, your Philadelphia team.
Ah. Had to bring that up.
Your Philadelphia team is in a place right now, and we brought this up when we were predicting the division champions, and we said
I didn't say Philadelphia.
About the NFC East in general.
Yes.
That we've both agreed that it's kind of a poor man's NFC East, and it's not the toughest division in football anymore.
No.
And teams like Kansas City are 3-0, but granted, they played Jacksonville and they played Philadelphia.
And
they had their time. But with looking at this Philadelphia Eagles team and where they stand with one win, two losses, they've lost 8 straight games at home. And we just talked about protecting your home and what are you going to do if somebody breaks into your house? How are you going to protect it? Well, they haven't done anything to protect their home. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly hate upon themselves. They've brought this game to their home field and haven't found a way to win it. What do you take away from Philadelphia right now, where there's a new offense, you got your new head coach, Michael Vick, they're trying to bring him into this rebirth. LeSean McCoy's still good. but where do you put this team that defensively just hasn't been there and has a team like Kansas City, who granted, we'll see in time if they truly are a good team, but Alex Smith was allowed to do what he wanted to.
Well, first off, I'd like to apologize to my 52-inch Vizio television that I was screaming at last night that had nothing to do with the game. So I'm sorry, TV. It wasn't your fault. I know it was the Eagles, but you caught the brunt of it.
You just wanted to throw down his 52-inch.
In all honesty, right now the Eagles, they're a team trying to find themselves. You know, their third down defense is absolutely abysmal. It is. I mean, it's horrendous. I mean, and it's going to get to a point where things don't change. The offense is going to start pointing fingers at the defense. The defense is going to start pointing the fingers at the offense, and then things aren't going to go good. They're going to have no good cohesiveness in that locker room.
It's going to be like it was.
Right now it's tough because, granted, it was a bad game last night. You just can't attest it to Michael Vick, you know, standing in the pocket holding the ball too long. You know, offensive line had a horrible game. Vick was under pressure all night long. You know, DeJon Jackson, with the exception of a few plays here and there, couldn't get open. You know, and when DeJon Jackson can't get open, you know, other receivers have to step up and make plays. But the bottom line is, you know, championship teams win on defense. The defense needs to step up. They really, really do. And you go across the board and look at any championship for years past, and it's always been the defense that's won the championship for them. They always say offense sells tickets, yes, because they're the high glory, glamorous, glorified positions. But defense is what wins championship. Until the Eagles defense finds out who they are and gets himself an identity, they're going to struggle the rest of the year. And it doesn't get any easier because they have to go out there to Denver to play against Peyton Manning, the Denver Broncos, who I think right now are the best. I don't think they are the best football team in the NFL right now. I just don't see good things going into this next week with the Eagles.
Philadelphia, on defense that you brought up, is there anybody on that defense that you see as a leader right now?
No, and that's their problem. I mean, when you lose a player like a Brian Dawkins, who was a great player, even a Jeremiah Trotter when he was on that team, you know, just somebody to step up, you know, and grab somebody face masks and tell them, let's go, guys, somebody to rally around, somebody who they believe in. You know, they're going to struggle. I mean, I look across the defense, and they're basically all a bunch of, I mean, like, granted, they're no names, but they're no names. There's no star-studded player who they can rally behind and believe in on that team. And the ones that are, and notice I said team and not just defense. I mean, because, all right, Michael Vick is not a leader. DeSean Jackson is not a leader. LeSean McCoy is not a leader. They're all good players. They're all very, very talented players, but they're not all true leaders. And until Philadelphia finds a true leader to be able to go out there and rally this team and to have this team believe in them, they're going to struggle.
Andy Reid coming back to Philadelphia, greeted by cheers, people mm-hmm. obviously not hating him for what happened. He comes back with this Kansas City team, and he beats Philadelphia. How much did Andy Reid's Chiefs beat Philadelphia? Or did Philadelphia beat Philadelphia? Where do you put this? Because Kansas City goes up against the Jaguars, and that's the two worst teams were in the NFL last year. Mm-hmm. They both had two wins. So that game, you say, okay, mm-hmm. whoever's going to win that game, either way, not the greatest teams. You go up against Dallas, and Dallas is typical of letting ones go that yeah. they shouldn't, yeah. and they lose by a point.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know anybody was in here.
But then they go up against Philadelphia, and they win this game. How much is Kansas City beating Philadelphia, or did Philadelphia just lose the game themselves?
No, that was Kansas City beating Philadelphia. Andy Reid is a good coach and always has been a good coach. And it's funny, I sit there and look at it, and one of my friends was saying last night, it's like, you know what, Philadelphia fired Andy Reid. I mean, guess it wasn't a coach, huh? Because he came back for another team that, you know, had four wins last year, you know, and he beat him. You know, so it's not the coaches all the time, you know. But, I mean, I was happy for Andy Reid. You know, he went into a situation where he got Alex Smith that has completely turned the Kansas City Chiefs around. They're a good team. They're just a quarterback away and confidence away from being a good team. Alex Smith is a true leader. As you see out there, that offense completely rallied around him. They believe in his arm strength. They believe in his ability to be able to go out there and be a good player. And until Colin Kaepernick, Alex Smith was one heck of a player in San Francisco. I mean, people better realize that, you know. It's just that Kaepernick happened to come around and be this phenom, you know, that made Alex Smith expendable. You know, so, but no, I'm happy for Andy Reid. I hope he does well. You know, it's going to get tougher for them as the season goes along because teams are going to start to zero in on their radar now. They're not going to sneak up on their teams anymore, but it's good to see Andy Reid doing well. But I wish it was with the Eagles, but it is what it is.
Here I'm back on the field with Rob Drummond, Syracuse CFL NFL alum, here with Dan Satora every single week, only on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop shop where sports meets life. Thanks, Rob, once again.
Thanks, Dan.